Welcome to another Art of Relationships podcast. We are grateful for listeners like you. Let's get right into it.
Well, again, Tim, it's good to be here with you. And we just get to talk about different kinds of relationships and things that are going on and ways in which we can figure out how to make our relationships thrive. And it's fun to do a podcast.
Everybody wants that.
Yep.
It's kind of like everybody wants to be in shape. And everybody wants to eat well, and everybody wants to, right? But then you ask them, okay, what's your plan?
Yeah.
Give me your plan. And most people are hit and miss. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. That's what's cool about research, is we begin to identify what a healthy, thriving relationship looks like.
Yeah. And do you think some people just think, oh, it'll happen naturally or easily, or I get married, and the love that I'm going to have for this person is just going to carry me through?
Or let's Christianize that, being at Biola University. The mere fact that you self-identify as a Christian, I think we're going to be okay. Because it's two Christians that are going to get married or we're going to date. And it's like, but even that, there's a bunch of stuff you just have to work on.
I couldn't imagine not going into a marriage or an engagement or a serious relationship without a plan and without talking about it, just assuming that love is going to carry us. How long before, in your marriage, how long before you realized, this is going to take work? I'll tell you, it was probably within the first month and a half of marriage that I realized how selfish I really was. I woke up thinking, but I want to do this or I want this. And here's this other person that has interests and desires to go. And I remember, oh my goodness, the selfishness in me really stands out.
So let me tell you the biggest difference between you and me. I was equally selfish, though completely unaware. It wasn't until we had kids. When we had kids, I realized the anger I had that was under the surface, kids brought it out. It was like I couldn't get them to do what I wanted them to do. Yeah. My time was deeply infringed upon, especially when you have young kids. And then Noreen and I had different parenting philosophies. So I was equally selfish. I just was under this illusion that I was a pretty darn good husband. And then the kids come, and even I started to realize, oh, geez, I got some issues to work on because I'm tired, frustrated, and hacked off.
And here's the thing. You guys did premarital counseling.
Yeah.
You guys knew what to expect. One of our big worries and why this podcast, I think, is something that we like to focus on relationships, Tim, is because people need as much exposure to ideas and plans and ways of doing things that they can to prepare for the inevitable conflicts that are just going to be part of any marriage, and they're going to come, right? I mean, we are going to be in any relationship. There's going to be times that we have conflict, and that's just a given. And if you're not ready for that, I think people who get married with this idealized view of marriage that says, oh, it'll carry you forever. Oh, you'll be in love. You'll hold on to this. The day they wake up not feeling that anymore is the day they think, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
And they get out. And we've seen that happen in marriages. In Hollywood is a perfect example, right? How long do marriages last there with people who have this false view of what love is?
Yeah. It's like saying, I want to run a marathon. But where do I start? Well, read a book about running a marathon would be a great place to start. Hang out with people who have already run marathons to find out how information in the book actually gets applied when you're hitting mile 13. So marriage is the exact same thing. Man, the more information you can have heading into it, more tools in the toolbox. And that's what this podcast is about, is say, listen, get information from psych and calm and what the scriptures have to say, and then actually try to do it. You're going to come into bumps, but more information is better.
And it's why 6 years ago, you and I, our spouses and some others, decided to teach a class for students on how do you identify that which is both going to come? How do you deal with conflict? But also, what are some of the ways you can prepare to see or change your perspective or be prepared for things that will come? So,
and you might be listening saying, where do I get this information? I want this information. Well, go to our website, right, Chris?
cmr.biola.edu.
And we've got podcasts, we've got blogs, we've got Ask the Expert, we have interviews. Man, it's just a treasure trove. Because here's the bad thing, Chris, let me say this and we'll jump into our topic for today. So the internet is good and crazy at the exact same time. If you want to see the craziness of it, just type into the search engine, how to lose weight. You'll get craziness, like you want to lose 10 pounds over the weekend, cut off your arm. You know what I mean? And then you get stuff from the Mayo Clinic that has been researched. So we want to be a clearinghouse, our website, of here's the stuff you can trust, whether you agree with it or not. It's been vetted by us. That's the beauty of a website like our website.
Good call out. Tim, let me just say then, if you were to evaluate and someone were to come to you and say, I'm in this dating relationship, or, you know, one of your sons says, I've met somebody and you know, we're really having a fun time and we've been dating. You would begin to, and if they were to ask you, what, dad, I really love this person, or I like hanging out with them, or I just feel like we share so much in common. What are some signs they should be looking for that are positive signs? Like, yeah, do you have an abundance of this? Because we could tell them, of course, if you don't fight well, if you have a lot of conflict, if there's all these other kind of negative traits, I think we can identify them. In fact, we had a whole podcast on, you know, negativity bias. We can be prepared for that. But let's try the opposite. A researcher wrote about these positive interpersonal processes. Susan Algoy out of, well, there you go, UNC Chapel Hill. And she's a psychologist there in neuroscience. And she recently began to say good relationships are characterized when there's a lot of, or what we call frequent positive social interactions, right? So Tim, what would you point out when someone says, we have so many positive things, and is that a good sign? And I think we would say, yes, and here they are. Yeah. What are some of them? She would say, people that have fun together.
Yeah. Right?
If this person makes you laugh, if you look forward to hanging out with them, and if the fun is there, obviously you're starting off well. She says, good. Number one quality.
So that would be common interests.
Yeah.
Enjoying each other's company. Yep.
Sharing similar sense of humor, things that you laugh at.
Right. I think it's incredibly important. Yeah. Yep.
Good. Another one, I think, Tim, that we would begin to say, if that's there, those positive emotions, we would begin to say, what is it that, so for you and Noreen, you guys no doubt have similar senses of humor and you guys laugh at the same things. Can you recall knowing, gosh, I like that because we just have fun doing the same things. And that's this idea that she would say is a positive interpersonal process that signifies good relationships. You have fun together.
That's the value of dating, Chris, because I remember dating in college, perfectly fine, godly women. I mean, if you take a look at the resume of godliness, they're leading Bible studies, they're discipling women, they're sharing their faith. Yeah. They're awesome. But what was missing was you would make a joke and they sort of kind of wouldn't get the joke or they would ask for the joke to be explained. Yeah. Or I remember one woman saying, you know, I kind of feel like that's coarse jesting. And I would say, oh, no, let me share with you what coarse jesting sounds like, right? That was not coarse and it was a joke. Yeah. That's right. But that's where dating just helps to say, okay, I need somebody that our humor and our viewpoint kind of meshes without a ton of work.
Good. So if you're thinking about this and you're in a dating relationship and you want to know if you're similar, here's one way. If you're watching something, listening to something, maybe you're listening to a comedian or watching a Netflix movie, if you tend to synchronize your laughing continues at the same time. You start at the same thing, you laugh at the same thing. You're more likely to probably share these things, a similar sense of humor with them. Now, we always laugh at different weird, unique things, right? I sometimes laugh at something and Lisa goes, what was that? But most of the time it's in sync. That's a great gauge as to whether or not your humors are similar.
And let's not just limit it to humor for a second. We were going to go off. I know you and Elise have gone to the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. We were heading off to live in Lithuania for a year and Campus Crusade for Christ thought it'd be a great idea. Last night in the States, let's all go see a musical. And the musical, Chris, was Les Mis. I had no idea what Les Mis was, none whatsoever. And I even copped a little bit of a bad attitude with Noreen as we're driving to the theater saying, this is what? She said, honey, it's the French Revolution and it's all singing. And I'm like, seriously? This is our last night? Chris, we walked out of there singing Les Mis songs. Yeah. And Noreen and I were so blown away. We bought the CDs, right? Yeah. Our friend, our dear friend, John, that we love to death, literally looked at us and said, there were no words. And we just looked at him like, are you kidding me? Yeah. That was brilliant. Yeah. And he was like, yeah. Well, okay. It's one thing he's your friend. Yeah. So let's say you were dating. Yeah. I think you would take that. I think you would file that away just a little bit to say, listen, I think this was the best thing I've ever seen in my life. And you were like, eh? What else does that apply to, by the way?
Yeah. Good.
That's important.
I think it's really important. Tim, here's another one. If you're in a relationship and you want to know one of the positive qualities or traits that's associated with longevity, with health, it's what happens when something good happens, when you get good news. So my wife, if I were to share something good that happened to me today, I could tell you what she's going to do. Her response is going to be joy. She's going to be excited for me, like, oh, Chris, that's so cool. Tell me about what happened. So if you're in a relationship in which they share a joy with you and you share something good about your day and they respond, they pay attention, they listen, and then they say, that is so cool, you're in a good, healthy relationship.
Even if they're not, even if that sort of kind of isn't their thing. I still share the joy.
Yep.
Let me give you an illustration, Chris. You know how much I love hockey. I'm from Detroit, hockey town, right? So you're from Colorado, okay? So you know that the Colorado Avalanche playing the Detroit Red Wings back in the day was insanity.
Patrick Waugh,
we hated. We despised that man. He was so good. He was so good.
He was the goalie for a long time for the Avalanche.
We hated him. So I could not wait for that man to retire. He was the thorn in our side. We literally would lose we wouldn't make the Stanley Cup because of Patrick Waugh. He retired. I went and stopped at Kroger grocery store. I went and got a cake, and I had on the cake, Patrick Waugh retired today. And I brought home a cake, and Noreen goes, honey, what's with the cake? And I opened the cake, and it said, Patrick Waugh retired. And she looks at me and goes, honey, I'm just so happy for you. Right? But it would imagine her saying, how much did you spend on this cake?
Yeah.
Tim, come on. That's ridiculous, right? No, she said, all right, honey, this is utterly ridiculous. Yeah. But because you're happy, I'm going to be. That is a huge sign of a good relationship, is to say, honey, I'm so glad that I'm glad that makes you happy, and I'm happy because you're happy.
And that, Tim, is a signal of love
and
support and health. And I think that sense of security there that says, and if I know if in the future something doesn't go well, they'll be there to support. In other words, that support in positive also correlates to the support when things maybe don't go well. And you're like, I can trust this person and I have security that way. So those are really good positive signs. What's another one? How about one that you and I, we've even had a podcast on this, the whole podcast. And that is people, when we do something for another person, right? You help your friend do something that is stressing them out. Maybe you need to proofread a paper, Susan wrote in this article, or a friend is really struggling with stress because there's time pressures, and you step in and say, let me do your laundry for you, or let me help you in this way, right? That action towards you can go a long way, especially if you notice it and talk about gratitude. So that idea, Tim, of how kindness begets kindness, says Susan Elgoy in this paper. What do you think about that and this idea of gratitude?
Well, it makes me think of the inverse. Remember Gottman said the first thing to die in a relationship is gratitude, is we start to take each other for granted. Yeah. And man, there is nothing like a well-timed compliment. And I have a friend of mine who says there's certain compliments you can live off of for weeks. And again, this is back to what we said in previous podcasts, life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yep.
And to just make sure that you intentionally express your gratitude. So I became a Christian through Michael Crane's Karate for Christ ministry when I was 13, never went to church. And I lost track of him. I mean, I literally just was at an event that he preached the gospel and accepted Jesus and then went on to be a leader with Campus Crusade for Christ, go on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, and now I'm at Biola University, a Christian university. He doesn't know any of that. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking at a marriage conference, Chris, and I mentioned my testimony. I mentioned Michael Crane's Karate for Christ. Mm. The guy walks up to me and goes, hey, I actually know the Cranes. Mm. I go, you do? He goes, I got their phone. I got his cell number. I called him, Chris. Mm. I said, hey, listen, I don't know if you ever know the fruits of your labor. I just want you to say that you put me on a path that is still impacting people today. I sent him every one of my books. I had InterVarsity sent him all my books. He said to me at the very end of the conversation, I'll never forget this, he goes, you know, I've had a stroke. I can't do karate anymore. And I've often wondered if it was worth it. And I said, Michael, this is living testimony that it was worth it. He goes, this really made my day.
Isn't that something?
That we have the power to do that.
Yeah.
And not to assume that somebody knows it. But to say, hey, I just want you to know, you're a great student.
Yeah. And Tim, I think what it communicates to the other person is when you do something for them, you get coffee the way they like it, or you thought about it, putting gas in their car. Or
yes.
It's as if you know they thought about you. And sometimes, you know, knowing that. There's a researcher who also examines how men and women respond to things like this. And Shanti Feldhahn just did some research saying that for men, they would oftentimes rather hear words like, thank you, then I love you. Now, they wanted to hear they loved you from their wives, from their spouses. But the very fact that that something that they did was acknowledged, like, you worked so hard for the family, can I just say thank you?
Yeah.
That right there, expressions of gratitude, did more for them oftentimes than someone just saying, hey, I love you. And I think it's interesting because
interesting,
there's a mix
yeah.
that it would be in yeah. there. And it shows the power of thinking about another person, kindness and gratitude. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's huge. And again, what we're saying doesn't just apply to relationships. This is organizational communication.
Oh.
This is if managers are listening.
Yep.
So we were at Miami of Ohio University, and I sat in on a philosophy class.
Yeah.
And this was an atheist philosopher, and Chris was not a good speaker. He just was. He was one of those painful guys. You just sat there, and you're like, why am I doing this? But now I feel weird to leave the class. But he gave a lecture on Descartes. That was really, really good. So afterwards, I went up with a couple students, and I just said to them, I said, hey, I just wanted you to know that was really good. I really enjoyed that, and that was very insightful. He gets emotional in front of me and the students and says, you know what? We don't get a whole lot of compliments. And I was like, dude, that was great. So to know that you have that kind of power to walk up to your pastor who maybe only hears complaints, to walk up to a boss who just is overwhelmed and doesn't have resources, middle management,
yep.
and you come up and say, I just want you to know, you do a great job.
You know, Tim, I just think of something like that, small kindnesses, right?
Yep.
Where you just think about something. It's kind of funny, just as we're talking about this, as we started this podcast, students were on the university, they walk by and they hold up a sign just now that said, we're big fans, right?
Yeah.
And that idea of just sharing, we love what you do. Because
yeah.
we're sitting here in a room, you know,
right.
and with no one else in this room, and we're just sitting here talking, and we don't know the impact. But to hear those stories, it just shows that, again, this, like we talked about in the last podcast or a previous one about the power of life and death mm-hmm. is in the tongue, that really there's something pretty powerful about just simply saying words like that to people. I wonder, why do people have a hard time with gratitude or saying thank you? Is it something that, do you think we do it well in young couples? Is it something we start taking for granted? And how do you encourage them to stay in that? And why is it so simple to be maybe more critical as a relationship starts?
Remember the old joke, a guy said to his wife, hey, listen, I told you I loved you when we got married, and if anything changes, I'll let you know,
yeah.
right? So I wonder if, like, with our pastor or our spouse.
Or kids.
I just wonder if we think, well, they know I love them. Mm-hmm. Come on. My wife knows I love her. My kids know I'm proud of them. They just know that. Yeah. And it's like, dude, make that explicit. Bob Emmons, right, wrote a great book on gratitude, and he talks about writing people letters
yes.
and hand-delivering
yes.
letters. You know what I did? You know what I did? This was a while back. I started to realize all my friendships, I have like five that we've been friends for 20 years or more, and I took one day and called each one of them, and the response was overwhelming. They were like, hey, man, thanks for that. And again, we've been friends for 20 plus, some, Tim Downs,
yep.
30 plus years.
Yep.
Bill Radford, 30 plus years. But to say, hey, I just want you to know, our friendship, man, has endured over time. It is one of the most important things. Mm-hmm. But to think, well, we've been friends. Why do I have to articulate this? But man, yeah. the power it had on them was mm-hmm. huge. And I think two things. Let me just say this. One, so when I made that decision to do that, right? The first call was by far the hardest because it was like, okay, is this going to be weird?
Yeah.
Is this just, I don't know, yeah. do I really need to say this? And maybe yeah. I'm being sappy and
yeah.
is this even masculine, you know, to do this? I think there was that. And, you know, I just wrote a book on spiritual battle in marriage. And I don't doubt, Chris, that Satan steps in and goes, oh, come on, you don't need to do this. Yeah. Come on, it will be weird. Why make it weird, right? Yeah. I don't doubt that that happens. So, man, Bob Emmons says, write that letter and send it. Send that email, send that text.
I love that. And even if you simply have done that and you want to try something else, we've talked about this on the program before, Tim, it's writing down things you're grateful for on a regular basis, right? And just do that a couple of times a day and keep a list. Man, how awesome is that? So good relationships, Tim, are characterized by these frequent, what she calls positive social interactions, right? Having fun together, you know, sharing laughs, doing kind things for one another, and then expressing the gratitude.
And that's only three. That's not a whole lot to work on.
It's not. You could do these pretty quickly. And by the way, the power of what this can accomplish in your own life, just simply by being more grateful, it's just like expressing and seeking and granting forgiveness. The quality of life changes because it has physical, psychological, emotional, and relational impacts. And so all of these things come into play, and there are such strong relationships and links between good relationships like these and health.
And Chris, I'm looking at these real quick, and I'm wondering if we couldn't apply these to God, each one of these.
Ooh, let's try it.
So for example, remember Paul says, I want you to exalt in the Lord. Yep. I want you to rejoice.
Yep. Yep.
To me, that's the sharing, this laughter, this intimacy, this, I am so overwhelmed by the truth of the gospel. Literally, I'm laughing.
And look at David when he comes in and he dances and into the city as God's sign of love. And then God expressing joy, singing over us, right? That idea in, is it Zechariah or Zephaniah? And there are three where he talks about he exalts over us with song. Yeah. All right, so it applies. What about the next one?
Hey, my favorite definition of exalt. I had a student when I was at UNC Chapel Hill. She was my top student. She was a phenomenal student, incredibly responsible. She comes in one day, her eyes are all blotchy. Before class, she grabs me, and you could tell she's just really upset. And she just goes, Dr. Milhoff, I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared for the midterm. I'm so sorry. I didn't budget my time, and I don't ever do this. And I'm going to ask you for an extension. I just feel horrible for doing it. And I just let her talk. I said to her, I'll call her Joy. I said, Joy, it's next week. And she let out a yell and hugged me. And to me, that's exalt. That is, I so realized what I thought was incredibly bad news, and I just blew it, and I got a huge mulligan.
That's great.
I think that's really cool. How about expressing joy, disclosing good news? I think this is praising God, and even saying to Him, "Thank you for my salvation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take this for granted." Yeah. Communion is a chance for us to bodily partake in disclosing good news. This is Christ's body given for you, His blood spilt for you.
Yeah, and that's exactly what praise is, right? When we turn back and recognize and acknowledge the goodness of what we've received by a God who loves, right? By a God who is joy. So that one fits. And then, of course, the whole notion of Thanksgiving.
We get gratitude is everywhere. Yeah. I mean, read Psalm 103. Yeah. Hey, but let me make a point about Psalm 103. I actually preached a sermon on this. So David says, I'm going to count the benefits before me. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is how he lists the benefits. Mm-hmm. If you were to go to an average American Christian and say, are you grateful to God? I think many of us in a materialistic world would say, yeah, I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful I have friends. I'm thankful for my family, right? David doesn't start there.
Mm-hmm.
He starts by saying, one, all your iniquities have been forgiven. Uh-huh. Second, you'll be redeemed from the pit, which means you'll be raised from the dead.
Right.
Your transgressions are forgiven. Your diseases will be healed eschatologically, right, in the kingdom. And then he says at the very, very bottom, and he fills your days with good things. Mm-hmm. I think as Americans, we flip that. We judge God by the good things, health, status, grade point, dating relationship. David says, no, start with the spiritual ones.
Yep.
Jesus died for you. Your sins are forgiven. You're redeemed. Those, I think that's important to get the order right.
No, that's really good. That's real insightful. Yeah, Tim, I think that's a great insight. And it helps us as we recognize that even if we sometimes struggle with maybe being slightly more pessimistic or more negative or maybe not quite as, you know, joyful as some, that we can still express and sense and know who we are, what we've been given, this good news that we have, and that's why it's good news, right? And that joy that we can have, even sometimes for those that hold down a little bit of their emotions, they're maybe a little bit less likely to show strong, positive emotion, can still recognize and benefit by expressing and these kinds of things like gratitude for another person, by loving and joy for another person and looking out for them.
So maybe make it your exercise for today to make a list of 10 things, 5 spiritual blessings mm-hmm. and 5 material blessings, but start with the spiritual and then do the 5 blessings.
I love that. And then if you want, you could even have a different category of those friends in your life, kind of like you did, keep a running list of things that you like about them, things that you value about them and ways that maybe they make you laugh or qualities that they have. And what a great list to keep.
Oh, it's awesome. Man, keep that thing.
And number one on that list would be keep listening to this podcast. Yes. Go to cmr.biola.edu for other resources like this.
And hey, but seriously, we are grateful for our listeners. We get metrics on our podcast, and we don't take it for granted that this podcast has really grown and that we're international. We're up to 70 countries where people listen to us, and we don't take that for granted. And thank you for listening to us. We really do appreciate that.
And for sharing it around. We appreciate it. All right, Jim, good talking.
All right, take care.
Thanks for listening to The Art of Relationships. This podcast is only made possible through generous donations from listeners just like you. If you like it and want to help keep the podcast going, visit our website at cmr.biola.edu and make a donation today.